would praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great
says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. So it's a privilege to praise the Lord with you today, and we hope that He will inhabit our praises even at this very hour. Well, while suffering on the cross for our sins on Golgotha, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ spoke seven short, simple, but significant sentences. These sayings reveal a great deal about the heart of the Lord Jesus. No one gospel writer recorded them all in his gospel story. Certainly, the Holy Spirit was sovereign in this. He chose in his wisdom to give the four gospel writers the privilege of recording what he deemed best for their gospel accounts. Mark and Matthew were given the privilege of recording only one of the seven sayings, while the remaining six sayings were shared equally between Dr. Luke and John, the apostle whom Jesus loved. Each records three sayings in their gospel accounts. These so-called seven sayings from the cross by our Lord Jesus have been held dear by the church, primarily because they have opened to us a window into our Lord's heart and mind while he was suffering for our sins on the cross. The amazing thing about each saying is that they were spoken not in anger. Sometimes when people are hurting us, we want to react in anger. But that was not what the Lord Jesus did. They were not spoken in resentment, bitterness, or with a complaining of vindictive spirit. In fact, each is a vivid expression either of his great care and concern and compassion and his selfless and sacrificial love for you and for me, or of his dreadful work, his dreadful but divine work of bearing our sin, or his final conquest and victory over sin and Satan. Well, the season of celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is certainly an appropriate time to pause and ponder each of these things. And I believe doing so will enhance, excite, and energize our spirits to worship Christ with a new sense, a fresh sense of purpose and passion for all that he has done for you and for me. Of course, meditating on these things should not be limited to Easter celebrations. It should be practiced all year long, because Christ's sacrifice on the cross for our sins is key for our daily living and our eternal future. Now, who can tell us what was the first saying of Jesus on the cross? Remember, there were seven of them. Great, great, great. Thank you, brothers. You are right in tune. Well, my purpose today is to present to you the sixth saying spoken by our suffering Savior on that historic day. And I've entitled the sixth saying, "The Savior's Shout of Victory." Our Lord sacrificed for the sin of the world as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has come to a climactic point. He has come to the point of completing his work of bearing the sin of the world and becoming sin for us. You see, this work must be fully accomplished before sinners can have any hope of being saved. John, the inspired writer of the fourth gospel, now records for us our Lord's sixth saying whilst he was hanging on that cross on that historic day. In John chapter 19, verse 30, please stand there, you find the sixth saying of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Therefore, when he had received the sour wine," therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This statement was made for you and me more than for Jesus. We wretched and wayward, wicked and woeful sinners needed to hear that the work of redemption is fully accomplished by the Redeemer of sinners. We needed to rest in his finished work. We needed his liberating power to steer us away from the path of seeking to earn our ticket to heaven. There are people today who are seeking to earn their ticket to heaven. We needed that message from the cross to steer away from trying to seek our own path of going to heaven. Actually, John is the only gospel writer who recorded our Lord's shout of victory from the cross. It is finished. In our time of study today, I would like to emphasize 2 points in our Savior's shout of victory. First is the principle of finishing. And then second is the public declaration of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, we read these words. That is where the principle of finishing began. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says these words: "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done." You see, one of the major principles found in the scriptures since the creation of the heavens and the earth is that God, listen carefully, always completes what he's begun. Genesis tells us that God finished his creation after 6 days and rested on the seventh day. God the Creator, who is none other but the Lord Jesus Christ, as John chapter 1 verse 3 will tell us, and Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 will tell us, did not abandon his work of creation. He did not quit in the middle of his creatorial work. He worked faithfully until everything he planned to create was created. Notice the above passage, that is Genesis chapter 2 verse 1 to 2, that the verb completed is mentioned twice. The repetition is for emphasis. What is it emphasizing? Well, the Bible is stressing right from the very beginning of its record that God always completes what he's commenced to do. The Hebrew verb for complete is kalah. It also means to be finished, accomplished. ready to be at an end, to be consumed, to end. It essentially means to bring a process to an end. You see, when God, the creator of all things, began the process of creation, he brought it to its perfect end. All that God desired to create was fully accomplished to his complete satisfaction. While the New Testament also affirms that God always finishes what he's begun, what he started. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, we read this blessed words, which is my life verse. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, notice the confidence with which Paul is speaking. For I am confident of this very thing. What thing? That he who had begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Notice that there is a beginning of a work and a completion of that work. This work is the believer's spiritual progress, which involves the believer's conformity into Christ-likeness. That is the work he's doing in your life today. If you are a believer, he's working to conform you into Christ's image. He's working to conform me into the image of his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus. The Bible is saying here that genuine spiritual progress in the Christian's life is rooted in what God has done, is doing, and will do. In fact, his faithfulness centers or ensures that he will be with the believers until the return of Christ Jesus our Lord. Christians, if you are one, can have unshakable confidence that the God who has saved them will never abandon his work in their lives. He will never let them go. He will not quit in the middle of his divine work in their lives. And that is so encouraging to me every day. And that is why this verse is my life verse. Because I know God who has begun a work in me will assuredly, faithfully finish it. Actually, the Greek word translated perfect to perfect until the day of Christ is apitello. It's used here in the intensive form and also means to finish, complete, to perform, or accomplish. You can count on it. God will finish what he started. That is the message he wants me to give to you today. God will finish what he started. Can we all say that to the glory of God? God will finish what he started. Even in speaking of his judgment on the unbelieving nations in the last days, the Bible reveals that once again, God starts his judgment on the unbelieving nations, he will also methodically carry it out to the very end. He will not quit in the middle of it. We see that in Revelation chapter 15, verse 1, where the Bible tells us these words of John the Apostle writing in the Spirit. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. Finito. John was given actually the privilege of observing the beginning of this process in Revelation chapter 5, where he saw God sitting on his glorious throne with a book sealed up with seven seals. And as you remember in that story, no one was found worthy to open the book and break its seals. And John wept until one of the elders told him to stop weeping. He was assured that the lion from the tribe of Judah and the lamb who was slain has overcome so as to open the scroll and break its seals. The lamb's breaking of the seal, The Bible tells us began what we call the seven seals of judgment. And then the breaking of the seventh seal ushered into the seven trumpets of judgment. And then this was followed by the seven bowls of judgment. Each bowl, we are told, was full of the wrath of God, who lays forever and ever. And now in Revelation chapter 15, verse 1, we are told that is being brought to an end. According to the revelation God gave John, when the seventh angel poured out his bowl, a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." And this statement was later repeated in Revelation chapter 21 verse 6 after God gave John the vision of the new heaven and a new earth. And again God says, "It is done." Now, what is the point of all this? Well, the point is this. God always, listen, finishes the work he's begun, whether it's the work of extending his love to repentant sinners or his work of executing his righteous judgment on the rebellious. He will complete, finish, bring that work to an end. And this principle is now vividly and visually demonstrated in the life of the Lord Jesus at the cross. When the Lord Jesus spoke his sixth saying from the cross, please do not think that this is a novelty idea for him. It's not new, or it's not a new thing for him. No, not at all. It has been his practice since the creation of the heavens and the earth. He was simply living out what he's been doing all along, finishing what is begun. And my prayer for you today is to come to a point where you will have confidence in God that he will finish what he's begun in your life. That is my confidence today, that I want God to finish the work he has begun in my life. Well, having carefully shown us the principle of finishing from both Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible now concisely speaks to us of the public declaration of our Lord Jesus. And that is where we come to the words, "It is finished." This is the sixth saying of our Lord Jesus Christ. By these words, only a single word in the original language, our Lord is not making a public declaration of finishing his work. It is a public declaration because it took place before what? A world of watching sinners. It was not done in a corner. It was done where all could behold the Lamb of God give himself for the sins of the world. In fact, these were words that the devil never wanted to hear. He didn't want Jesus to finish the work the Father has given to him. He would have loved Jesus to quit in the middle of the work, because that would leave you and me still in bondage to Satan. But that day, the Lord Jesus victoriously declared, "It is finished. The work is done." Now the question is, what is finished? What work is completed? Well, the entire work of redemption had been brought to its completion. His work of saving sinners and extending his love to us is finished. The entire redemption, work of redemption had been brought to an end. The work of taking away the sin of the world as the Lamb of God is not now done. The divine work of God the Son himself becoming sin for us is now completed. The divine work of purchasing sinners from the slave market of sin is now completed. The once for all work of paying the penalty for our sin debt in full is now completed. The divine work of bearing the full wrath of God against your sins and against my sin is now completed. The divine work of atoning for the sins of humanity with a perfect sacrifice that is acceptable to Almighty God is now done. Love redeeming work is done, says Charles Wesley, the hymn writer. You see, the righteous or the just anger of God against sin of all mankind lay upon Jesus Christ throughout his life, but especially at his crucifixion. Now the penalty was paid in full. As such, the work of salvation for mankind was complete. No one can add to that work. Amen. It's done. It's finished. It's completed. It's been brought to its definitive end. And may I say to us today, because of this completed work, all who believe in Jesus Christ are reconciled to God, are redeemed, are regenerated, and restored into fellowship with God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. Now and forevermore, we become members of the family of God. This, I believe, deserves a hallelujah shout. But amen. Well, the expression "it is finished," like I told you, is one word in the Greek, which is tetelestai. It means to make an end or accomplishment, to complete anything, not merely to end it, but to bring it to perfection or its designed goal, to carry it through. This word has been found written on papyri, receipts for taxes, meaning paid in full. Where you see tetelestai, it is translated paid in full on the papyri. My friends, Jesus is the one who paid our sin debt in full. We are in tax season. You have to pay your taxes. You have to pay them in full. Well, if you pay them in full, they will write in those days, tetelestai. It's paid in full. And thank God, Jesus paid in full your sin debt and my sin debt. Now, please understand that when the Lord Jesus made this public declaration of finishing last redeeming work, it was made with a jubilant and joyful heart. Why? Well, the work of redemption has been brought to its perfect conclusion. The work of atoning for sinners has been carried through to its desired goal. Nothing, absolutely nothing, was left undone. Jesus had perfectly fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law. In short, his sacrifice of himself for sinners was completed in all respects. There was no thing, nothing left undone. Flawless, impeccable, it brought full satisfaction to the heart of God. No doubt it brought a big smile to the face of God. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Full atonement can it be? Hallelujah, what a savior. Well, John Stott eloquently and expressively writes on our Lord's shout of victory from the cross. He writes, and I quote him for us. He says, quote, "One could perhaps claim that the words of the sixth cry, 'It is finished,' are the most momentous words ever spoken. Already in anticipation, Jesus had claimed that he had completed the work he had come to do in the world in John chapter 17, verse 4. So next, he makes a public declaration of it. His cry is not a despairing groan of one who is dying in resignation and defeat. It is a shout, according to Matthew and Mark, uttered in a loud voice, proclaiming a resounding victory. The Greek verb tetelestai is in the perfect tense, indicating an achievement with lasting results. It might be rendered, 'It has been and remains forever accomplished.' For Christ has made what the letter of the Hebrews to the Hebrews calls one single sacrifice for sins, and what Cramer in the Book of Common Prayer called a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the world. In consequence, because Christ has finished his work, has finished the work of sin bearing, there is nothing left for us to do or even to contribute. And to demonstrate the satisfactory nature of what Christ has done, the veil of the temple was torn down from top to bottom in order to show that the hand of God had done it. This curtain had hung for centuries between the outer and the inner sanctuary as an emblem of the inaccessibility of God to sinners. For no one might penetrate beyond the veil into the presence of God except the high priest on the day of atonement. But now the veil was torn in half and discarded, for it was needed no longer. The worshippers in the temple courts gathered that afternoon for the evening sacrifice were dramatically informed of another and better sacrifice by which they could draw near to God. Unquote. Wonderful words reminding us of the finished work of Jesus Christ. William MacDonald also shares this insight. It's a brief one. He says, quote, "The work his Father had given him to do, the pouring out of his soul as offering for sin, the work of redemption and of atonement. It is true that he had not yet died, but his death, burial, ascension were as certain as if already accomplished. So the Lord could announce that a way had been provided whereby sinners could be saved. Thank God today for the finished work of the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary." Amen. Unquote. Amen. So please listen carefully. Our Lord's shout of victory is significant. You say, why is it significant? Well, it's significant because, listen, it reveals to sinners that the work of salvation is what? 100% completed. It is not 99.99% completed. It is 100% completed. Jesus knew sinners needed to hear that the great work of redemption has been what? Flawlessly done by him. They need not work for their salvation. They need not labor to earn their salvation by their own efforts. They need not enslave themselves to the rituals and regulations of men to secure a ticket to heaven. But sadly today, many are not resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for their salvation. They want to do what? They want to earn their own ticket to heaven. May I say to you today, being religious hasn't saved anyone. But resting in the finished work of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, does. Following religious rules and regulations of men will not save you and will not save me. But simple childlike faith in Jesus Christ will certainly save you and make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Toiling hard to earn your ticket into heaven will not get you there, but it will only get you to hell. Ask those people who are toil hard to get a ticket to heaven. And when they died, they found themselves in hell. But trusting in Jesus and his completed work on the cross for your sins will. So please, if you are someone here who is striving in your own efforts to earn a ticket to heaven, please, I urge you to stop. If you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, I want you to know that God loves you. That is why he sent his son Jesus Christ. He died for you on the cross. He gave his life for you and for me. Why? Because he wants to save you. He wants you to experience life eternal, life everlasting, life abundant. So how do you get that life abundance, abundant life? Well, you simply surrender your heart to Jesus today. You say to Jesus today that you are a sinner who cannot earn your ticket into heaven by trying hard to be good and doing good. Seek Jesus today with what? Simple and sincere childlike faith that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried to put away your sins, that he rose again from the dead on the third day to bring you into a right standing with a righteous and holy God. Seize this moment today to do the most important business of your life. And what is that most important business of your life? The business regarding the salvation of your soul. If you are not saved today, in order for God to begin his work of changing you to become like Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, if Jesus or if God begins this work in you today, he will assuredly finish it to the praise of his glory. Amen. Now, if you are not if you are already a genuine born again believer, this message has important practical applications in it for you. What are they? Well, first of all, listen carefully. Thanking Jesus for finishing the work for your redemption or your salvation must be a daily practice of your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Please let me ask you, has that been your practice this Holy Week? Remember, we are in the Holy Week. Are you thanking Jesus for the finished work he's done to save you and to save me? Please, let's never take Jesus' finished work on the cross for granted. By the grace of God, every morning when God gives me life and I get myself ready to pray, one of the songs I sing before I pray is this. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy grace, salvation so rich and free. I do that bowing down to Jesus. It's my way of saying to Jesus, I don't want to take for granted your finished work on the cross to redeem my life from my sins. He did it. He finished it. I cannot add to it, but I can thank him for it. And you must make it a daily practice in your life. Well, second, trusting Jesus to complete the good work he has begun in your life must be a way of life for you as a believer. Believer in Jesus, are you trusting Jesus today? Are you taking Jesus at his work, at his word today, that he will assuredly, without fail, complete the good work he has begun in your life when he saved you some years ago or maybe recently? If not, why not? Because he's promised to do that just that for you. Therefore, you honor him by trusting him to do just that and nothing less for you. So trust him today to complete the work he's begun in you. Trust him tomorrow to complete the work he's begun in you. Trust him to the end of your life here on earth, because he will assuredly complete his work in your life. And third, telling Jesus about all your problems, struggles, hardships, difficulties, trials, troubles, tribulation is a wonderful privilege that must be taken full advantage of consistently in your life as a believer in Jesus. Why? Well, because Jesus himself had faced great trials and tribulations and overcame to finish the work he had come to do. Not only that, listen carefully, when Jesus begins to resolve your problems, I tell you, friends, he will not quit until he completes it. I may try to help you, but I may not be there to the end for you. Amen. But when Jesus starts to solve your problems, to resolve your problems, he will be with you to the end until that problem is resolved in your life. Amen. When Jesus begins to lift your burdens, listen carefully, he will not stop at a halfway point. Your friends may do that. Your friends may stop at a halfway point. But he will assuredly finish carrying that burden with you. When Jesus starts walking by your side in your hardships, in your trials, in your troubles and tribulations, he will not stop in the middle and turn his back on you. Your friends, your families may do that for you, but Jesus will not. Jesus will walk by your side to the very end until he gives you a fresh testimony. And you too can say, it is finished. This trial is finished in my life. So please, whatever burdens, your struggles, whether family or financial struggles, health or housing needs, because I have a housing need right now, deliverance from drugs or depression, please don't hold back from telling Jesus about them. Why? He's ready to hear you. He's ready to help you. He's ready to heal you. And he's ready to hold you close to his heart. If you need comfort, he will do that for you. So the ball is now in your court. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you want to tell him your problems, or you want him to give you assurance that what he's begun in your life, he will finish it, please come here and we will pray with you. Whatever the issue, whatever the problem, whether it be a need for jobs, we are ready to pray with you and see Jesus finish his work in your life. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, please come here and I'll pray with you to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. So the ball is now in your court.